It's time for Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
Hey, folks, it's Mike the Ref here. Welcome to Quick Calls for tonight. I'm actually at Edmonton SBN World Headquarters here. Show ended rather early, so I decided it might be better for me to record at home rather than recording on the road, trying to drive in nice weather, a little bit of fog developing. So, yeah, safety first when it comes to us here at Edmonton SPN. So, I was out in Camrose tonight with the Canadian Wrestling Elite Planet Funk Tour the first night at the Elks Hall in Camrose. For the amount of the crowd that did show up there, and from what I've heard, the overall advertising was rather poor. It was mostly internet advertising, which, unless you're a diehard, you're not going to see too much of it. It was a decent crowd. I'm not going to kid numbers. Numbers aren't great. It was about 40 people by the time everything got said and done here. But the thing that really brought me down over this is the height of the roof in the hall. Pretty much the way I can sum it up best for you guys is during intermission, I went into the ring and had a picture taken with our special guest for this show, Shelton Benjamin. I could pretty much touch the roof. All I had to do is get up on my toes, folks. That's not a good thing here. Anybody who went with an over-under on how long it would take for a ceiling tile to go out? 10 minutes. But it was a decent five-match card. Time-wise, overall, it only ended up being about an hour and a half total time, including from the beginning of the first match to the end of the last one, which, okay, I'm going to say it's okay. I really have to give this show an incomplete on this one, just for the fact that there wasn't a whole lot that people could do in the ring because of the roof. The crowd was trying to get into it. There wasn't a many, what I would say, diehard, get into it fans, so I sort of had to drag them along. It worked out rather well overall for the competitors. I could see most of the wrestlers picked up on myself, and it seemed like we had a rather interesting conversation with us and most of the guys there, so. But let's get into the matches here, folks, and then I'll give you my overall good, bad, and ugly. God damn it, there goes my phone. I guess I'm going to have to owe everybody who's listening to this episode a beer for the fact that I'll use the Stone Cold rules on that. Anyway, first match of the night, we got TNA alumni and current Monster Pro Wrestling competitor Honey Badger Johnny Devine taking on the God of Gimmick, Tommy Lee Curtis. Now, one thing I noticed at the beginning of this match, I think Devine was supposed to come out as a heel, and Tommy Lee Curtis came out as a face. Johnny Devine was so personable with all the fans that he actually he turned into a face even before the show started. I know nobody was going over the merch table, so Devine decided he wanted to come sit down with a group of us and just start shooting the shit there about wrestling in general, enjoying the show, being a little personable, getting the little kids involved, which I'm really happy to see that. He knows how to connect with the fans, and he is a man's man when it gets into that squared circle. Not only can he relate to the fans, but he can also throw one hell of a match. It was a very good train wrestling from both guys. Like, Tommy Lee Curtis, I haven't had much of a chance to see him a whole lot, but he definitely did pull off a rather good match with Johnny Devine. Like I said, lots of chain wrestling. You're going to hear that a lot tonight, folks, just because there wasn't any ability for anybody to do anything while they were in the ring there. This match lasted 12 minutes, with Johnny Devine finishing it off with a T-bone suplex turning into a diamond cutter. Now, if you ever get a chance to see Johnny Devine pull this move off, it looked beautiful. even with the low roof, the way he could flip him over, similar to, like, basically throwing him up into a fisherman's plex, but instead bringing him down stunner type, but flattening out his back. I don't know if that's the best way to picture it, folks. Real wrestling enthusiasts will know what I'm talking about here. Was one hell of, I'd say one hell of a technical matchup here. Just would like to see what these guys could do with a little more space to work with. Our next match on the card, we got Hotshot Danny Duggan taking on the Rebel Bobby Collins with his manager Jack Daniels in the corner. Now, I'm sorry, folks. I could not help it. This entire match I am getting on Jack Daniels' case. Because let's face it, this is Alberta. This is Northern Alberta. We are Crown Royal country. No Jack Daniels. A lot of work on the outside, which I found was rather smart by these two guys. For the simple fact that if you got that roof that is so low in the ring, if you bring the action outside, you can do a lot more stuff. There was a lot of interference by Jack Daniels out there. A lot of decent wrestling back and forth. I mean, it wasn't really an overly strenuous match on either part. This one lasted about 12 minutes with Collins getting the roll-up on after Jack Daniels hits Duggan with the Confederate flag in the gut. Post-match, there was a beatdown with... Sorry, Rollins got the victory. Post-match, Duggan really laid into Jack Daniels there. And eventually a keyboard came into the ring and basically got shattered over Jack Daniels' face and parts and all over the place. Now, folks, this isn't one of those modern keyboards. This is like the original original PC, original Max. The hard white keyboards that are pale yellow right now. And so many fans were keeping them as souvenirs. It was nice. Now, this is one of the matches that I was looking forward to and ended up getting very disappointed about. No fault of their own, but just because of the ceiling. You got the returning hot prospect Travis Cole taking on the gold standard Shelton Benjamin, WWE and ROH alumni. Now, I wanted to see if Travis Cole could actually hang with Shelton Benjamin in a full-on match, a decent match. But you couldn't tell for the fact that they really couldn't do a whole lot because Shelton's head was pretty much at the ceiling at that time. So they had to go through a lot more gimmick spots throughout the match. They got to the point where they were actually going to get me and another fan into a tag team match with them. That would have been interesting. They asked me if I signed a waiver. I'm like, fuck, I'll sign anything to get in a match. An arm wrestling contest in the middle of the match that killed 10 minutes of a 15-minute match. The finish of the match was a super kick by Benjamin flush on the button to Travis Cole. And it looked solid and beautiful. Like, I could tell by the later part of the show, Cole was not selling it. So you know that Benjamin knows how to place that right. And he did end up getting the 1-2-3 out of it. So Benjamin pulling off that victory. And then we got into intermission. And it was rather interesting. I'm going to see if I can get this picture up on either our Facebook page or in with our quick call segment here. I got a chance to get in the ring with Shelton Benjamin. He's my size. He's definitely a lot skinnier than me. But the funny part is about how close we were to the roof there. It was rather interesting there. But the crowd was into it at times. Well, during the intermission, they were checking out a lot of the wrestlers. But with people that aren't diehard fans, you're really not going to see a whole lot picked up at that point. So, but after intermission, we got to what I consider my match of the night here, folks. The tag team of Flying High with Shane Sabre and Carter Mason took on the team of the Crown Jewel, Chase Owens, and Jason the Gift Kincaid. Now, this match here, both guys, when they came out, nobody could tell who was the face, who was the heel. So I could see that Duggan was trying to put the heels in first. But right after that first match with Johnny Devine, you didn't get that. There was no way that was going to happen. You got Owens and Kincaid coming out to the ring, and Kincaid's got a... He was rather loose, sitting down with the fans, booing and cheering. It was rather exquisite the way he did it there. And then, of course, the announcer, yes, I am critiquing an announcer, got the announcement screwed up for Flying High. They were supposed to weigh 420 grams. Yes, folks, Flying High, grams, all that good stuff. And he announced them as 420 pounds. There is no way those two together are 420 pounds here. So, but when they got to the ring, they started with... Just hold on, folks. I'm going to pause this for 1 second while I go swear at some kids. Sorry about that, folks. A little bit of a boom, boom, boom there. I guess I got to deal with that. Anyway, back to the match here, folks. A lot of chain wrestling here and a lot of action with these guys. There are four shorter cruiserweights who still could work in a facility like this. The effect of the ceiling, while it did dampen some of the moves, like they were going to... One of the spots during the match that I remember best was they were trying to... Owens was trying to set up Kincaid on the top rope for a cradle stacked pile driver. Because Owens pulled one off way earlier, a la Kevin Owens. Beautiful cradle pile driver. It was safe, it was hard, it was fierce, and it looked great. But of course, Kincaid, for the stacked one, could not get up to the second rope anyway. He pretty much was on the first rope, and he wouldn't be able to jump any higher there. So, we also got an invitation to a super kick party during this match, with everybody throwing every kick they could into it. It was an absolutely phenomenal match between these four guys. And I feel bad the fact we're not going to see this match again on the tour, because a lot of people in Edmonton, in Red Deer, in Calgary, missed out on a great match at this point. It finished with Shane Sabre spearing Chase Owens for the cover and the win. 16 minutes long, and it could have went a lot longer, and the fans that were there finally got into it at that point with that match. It was great to see at that point. So, but from there, we're already at the main event. We got the CWE Championship being defended between A-list Anderson Tyler Moore and ROH star, the last real man, Silas Young. Now, this match turned into a no-holds-barred match rather quickly. It wasn't a false count anywhere match, but it definitely was a more of a hard, well, I'd say softcore style, folks. This was not a hardcore match by any means. They did end up using a couple plastic trash cans. Once again, the smart spot that they did, and Duggan did this earlier in his match, they took the match outside. They took it outside the ring, where there's a little bit more room to breathe, a little bit more to work, because both these guys are rather tall. Anderson Tyson Moore really reminds me a lot of Bobby Roode in his face and his body and a lot of his mannerisms. And trust me, folks, if anybody knows me, Bobby Roode is probably the one guy I'd like to see up here in terms of a special guest. But I digress at that point here. This match ended up spilling outside where Silas Young ended up getting slammed into a side of a production truck. But the big spot outside was when Moore went to go put Young in a pile driver through a picnic table outside and ends up getting backdropped onto a dumpster, onto the metal dumpster outside. Got a big pop from the crowd. Those of us that could get out there, there was a smaller crowd, but not all of us could get out there to see it. So match went back into the ring, back and forth. A lot of low blows here. I think there was 3 shots to the ATMs during this match. A little bit too much for my asking, but it is what it is, and I hate that phrase, but I'll use it anyway here at this point. This match went on. I was actually surprised. They went 26 minutes with ATM hitting the, I don't know what you want to call it, the ATM KO out of nowhere. Basically, right out of the blue, nobody called it until the actual cover, and then I'm yelling, out of nowhere. But anyway, 26 minutes, Anderson Tyson Moore ends up getting your victory here, folks. Overall, top to bottom, I can't say whether this is a good card, a bad card, or otherwise. The tag team match was great. What the other guys did in their other 4 matches was good based on the scene that they were involved in. Now, this is partly to the wrestler's credit for that, but also it has a lot to do with the promoter. The promoter's got to see this kind of venue and say, look, we can't be booking this stuff. This is crap for independent wrestling. This kind of facility gives them a bad name. Need to get better venues for these wrestlers to do what they can. And there's a lot of matches I was looking forward to tonight that ultimately left me disappointed because I couldn't see what the potential of everybody was going to be in that. But of course, with every quick calls, now we do have our good, our bad, and our ugly here. Going with my good, I'd have to say the tag team match between Flying High and then Chase Owens and Jason Kincaid. If you guys get a chance to take a look at these guys, they definitely are worth a visit, worth a look. Another one of my goods in this situation is Hotshot Donnie Devine. This guy never fails to amaze me on how he turns every situation into a positive and turns every match into an event with him. And good on him for that. My bad? Well, frankly, my bad had to be, for lack of a better thing, the amount of time for the matches here, folks. Like, 26 minutes for the main event, okay, I get it. But the entire card was done in an hour and a half. I think it was, we started about 7:06 and ended at 8:34 or somewhere in that range, including all the entrances and exits. You're looking at an hour and a half to cover 5 matches, and frankly, the other organizations in town are providing 7 decent matches, which I felt, compared to these, are pretty equivalent. Like, you're seeing guys like Bobby Sharp in RCW, Chris Parrish in MPW, and you got guys like Michael Richard Blaze in PWE who are pulling out matches similar talent level to this. And for all the bragging that was done before, I expected a little bit more. And I hope that I do see a lot more going into tomorrow's matches in Sherwood Park. And the ugly, well, it's the facility. It's the roof. It's the fact that 3 ceiling tiles decided to bite the dust, including a couple braces. And I really hate to walk into scenarios where wrestlers don't have a chance to succeed, and they didn't in this case. So overall, I'm going to call this an inconclusive, folks. I can't give it a bad grade because these guys did their best with what they had. And I'm sure that the entire Front Row Mafia will be able to give a full report card on the show at Festival Place coming up on Thursday. That is where our next Quick Calls is going to be. The card coming up on Thursday includes Shelton Benjamin taking on Silas Young. The tag team of Johnny Devine and Danny Duggan taking on Flying High. That should be a very interesting matchup. Devine and Duggan know each other very well. Of course, Devine gave Danny Duggan the name Hotshot. So, but those two guys taking on Shane Sabre and Carter Mason, based on what they did tonight, I think that could turn into a very good match. And of course, you got Anderson Tyson Moore now defending his belt against Chase Owens, Travis Cole against Bobby Collins, and then Jason Kincaid against Tommy Lee Curtis. That Kincaid-Curtis match could be an iffy one way or the other. Could be good, could be an absolute car wreck. Frankly, I'd like to see what tonight's card would have done in tomorrow's venue. Because I think that card is a lot better settled for a venue such as Festival Place, which has been known to host events of this caliber. As I believe that this is the former site of where PWA used to hold their matches way back when. But in terms of other quick calls, like I said, we're reporting tomorrow from Festival Place in Sherwood Park with CWE. We're also going to have PWA's Retribution show at the Northlake Lions Senior Center coming up this Saturday. And then also next week, my Blown Call show, I'm just going to be going through. We've had 12 cards in 10 days once Saturday comes up that have shown up. It's been a phenomenal week of wrestling. It's going to take more than a couple quick calls to summarize our feelings on that. And I'm going to have definitely a lot of those on the quick call, on the Blown Call. My apologies. But with that, I'm going to wrap this show up here, folks. Thank you for listening. And once again, if you're going to make a good call, make a quick call. And this has been Quick Calls from the Edmonton SPN World Headquarters covering the CWE Tour from the Elks Hall in Camrose, Alberta on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network.
This has been Quick Calls with Mike the Ref on the Edmonton Sports Podcast Network. Contact us on Facebook or check out EdmontonSPN.podbean.com.